This podcast is brought to you by Harvest Family Church in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, please visit harvestfamilychurch.ca. We hope you are encouraged by today's message from Dr. Earl B. Coulter.
All right, you may be seated, please. In this short series, we're going to, the healing series won't be short, but this particular part, we're talking about the 19 individual healings and stories in the Gospels. There is, in the four Gospels, only 19 individual cases of Jesus healing. Sounds like there's a lot more as we read it, but there really isn't. There is situations where there's multitudes healed. I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with the 19 individual cases of healing. And beside each case, we're putting an annotation. And the annotation is in the next slide. And we're putting beside each one F, standing for faith specifically mentioned, or F-O, others' faith to bring the individual to Jesus or him to them for healing ministry. F-S stands for faith seen in action. And G stands for one of the gifts of the Spirit, for example, gifts of healings or working of miracles, etc. So last week we studied the nobleman's son or the official's son, and F was beside that one. Peter's mother-in-law, F-O, the faith of others. The leper was F. The paralytic was F. Man at the pool of Bethesda, gifts of the Spirit. The man with the withered hand, FS, faith seen in action. The centurion's servant, F. Jairus' daughter, F-O, F of others. So we're going to start tonight with the woman with the issue of blood and see what the Lord reveals to us out of this story. Before I get to that, I want to, and I did a little teaching, quick teaching on faith, and I said to you that faith is two actions. Faith is both passive and active. I want everybody to listen to me and don't write anything down for the moment because I don't want this to slip by you. Somebody says, well, I believe God. That's 50% of faith. Believing God is trusting in His Word. And some people leave it there. I believe in healing. I believe God can heal. But there's another part to faith that's very active, and that is you have to release it. And the way you release your faith is by words. Now, I feel like it's going over some people's heads. Just go, because we think we're in faith when we're believing something. And you are partly in faith when you're believing something. But you have to release your faith. And you have to release it by your words. So after you've been prayed for, you're believing, you came and you got prayed for, or you're believing on your own. After you've believed the word, you have to say something. You release your faith by saying, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. Without that part, there is not a completion of the faith axiom. And that's why many people don't get healed. That's why many people don't get answers to prayer. That's why many people don't see the manifestation of their believing, because really they're not releasing their faith. So we're going to see in this story right here a believing and a releasing. So you find this story in the Gospels in Matthew 9, 20 and 22, Luke 8, 43 to 48, and then we're going to read it from Mark chapter 5. So Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said... So she believed something because she heard that Jesus heals, and she then spoke it out. She released her faith. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. That word fear there means reverence. She wasn't afraid, she was reverent. And he said to her, daughter, notice, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. The annotation beside this one is faith. Now, we know that it was God's healing power through Christ, Christ's healing power. But he doesn't give credence to that. He doesn't emphasize that. Jesus said it is your faith that made you whole. And her faith was what? It's two parts. It was believing and saying something. The touch of faith gave action to the power. The touch, for she said, she believed, she said, if I but touch his garment, the touch of faith released the power. Many were touching him, but she touched him differently. She touched him with the act of faith. Healing came. So here's an example of what faith is. Faith is believing, and faith is saying. So the annotation beside this one is faith. Now, what I'm trying to point out to you is that in most incidents, and we will add them up after, but so far, most incidents that we have of Jesus healing was the action of the healing anointing brought on by faith, brought on by believing and saying. So it looks like very few times in Jesus' ministry so far that the gifts of the Spirit were operating when he was dealing with individuals. Without faith, it didn't happen. Now look at the two blind men's story. It's found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Believing and saying. He was getting them to do more than believing. He wanted an answer. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all the district. Now, most of the time, Christians, evangelical Christians, Pentecostal Christians, Word of Faith Christians, most of the time we put the onus on God. Now, God, why haven't you healed me? Or, I know God can heal me. But here in this case, he put the responsibility on the people. So we want to put the responsibility. See, everything that God is ever going to do for us has been done. has been done on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53. 1 Peter 2:24. He in his own self bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So, everything that we can believe God for, he's already done in Christ on the cross. And so he wants to put then the responsibility on us. See, he said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? If they had said, no, we don't, he said, well, then you've got to keep your blindness. Yes, Lord. The moment they said that, he touched their eyes, according to your faith be it done to you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. He wasn't ready yet to be public, but they made it public. But notice that point, very important point. Many times in life we put the onus and the responsibility on God, but he puts the responsibility on us to believe him and say it. The Syrophoenician's daughter. It's found in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15. We'll read it from Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he'd not answer her a word. His disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, this is what he's saying. The children, the children of Israel, the dogs were the Gentiles. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And the daughter was healed instantly. Now here's an example of faith, which is believing and saying. O woman, the great is your faith. I find this a very interesting story because she was not going to be deterred at the delay of Jesus' action. I mean, this was important to this woman, and Jesus was engaging her in this conversation and calling her a dog and everything else. Faith will not be denied. I said real faith will not be denied. Real faith hangs in there until. Real faith hangs in there until. And real faith never says, well, I guess it's not working. Real faith says, well, I guess the power of God is not working. And unless some people are healed instantly, they don't believe. And I pointed out to you last week that there are three or four stories here in the Bible where when Jesus prayed for them, they weren't instantly healed. They were healed as they went. Or one story says, at what hour did they start to get better? In Matthew chapter 16, it talks about that Jesus said, in that day, when the new covenant comes in, you lay hands on the sick and people will recover. Recovering is a process. But some people stop believing after hands are laid on them and nothing happens. Then they want to go back and have hands laid on them again and again. And some people like that, you could lay hands on them until every hair of their head was rubbed off, and it's not going to help. Or pour a whole bucket of oil on them. And there's just no faith there, because the faith is in an instant healing rather than in however God wants to do it. Just that I know it's going to happen. I believe, I receive. I'm not deterred. This woman was not deterred. Faith is not deterred in any delay or any process or any recovering process. So what would we put beside that one? What annotation would we put beside that one? Is anybody here tonight? What would we put beside it? I would say two things, right? Faith. Well, I would say faith, O-F, faith of the mother. That's good. The deaf man with the speech impediment. This is in Mark chapter 7. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue and looked up to heaven and sighed. He sighed and said to him, Epaphtha, that is, be opened. And his ears were open and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished, being beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, I find this one a combination. Faith gave action, in my mind here, to the miracle or the working of miracles. It was the action of others bringing him to Jesus and begging him to lay hands on him because they knew that Jesus heals. So there's faith there of somebody else. But faith gave action to a miracle working here. It's like he spit on his finger and put it in the guy's ears. So I find that a working of miracles because spit doesn't necessarily heal you. But in this case, it was an action, it was a miracle action. So, in a sense, faith gave action to the gift of faith or miracle. So, I think I would put F-O here and also G because there is a gift of healing or a working of miracles in operation. But you don't want to go out and try that. Unless you're led, and then have to think about it twice or three times. I mean, can you imagine it? There has to be a guy. There has to be a guy that's want to stand there and take that. He must be acting by faith as well. So we don't want to start a spitting ministry. The blind man at Bethesda. Mark chapter 8, it's found in one story, Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And they came to Bethesda, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, and when he spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he said to him, and he sent him home, saying, do not even enter the village. So in this case, I see it as the faith of others. I also see that it gave action to a working of miracles as well. But in each case here, faith was activated, either by somebody or the person themselves. Then the lunatic son. This is found in three places in the Gospels, Matthew 17, 14 to 21, and Luke 9, 37 to 42. I'll read it from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 27. Someone asked me one time, why is it in so many different places? Well, I think if you do a little study about this, you'll go home and you read it, and each of the writers of the gospel has just a little different take on it. It just like it'd be like if I ask four people to write a short essay on Sunday morning's message. Everybody would, in general, say the same thing, and yet everybody would have a different take on it from a different angle. It doesn't mean that they're contradictory, it's just that they're using different vantage points to bring a story. Mark 9, 14 and 27. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." So the lack of faith couldn't do anything. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, "From childhood, and has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Notice that? All things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." So what is it that causes a lack of healing? What is it that causes a lack of gifts of the Spirit? Is unbelief. But he cried out, "Help my unbelief. I believe." And when Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so the most of them said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. God put the responsibility, Jesus here put the responsibility on the Father for the miracle. We always put the responsibility on God. But he put the responsibility on the Father. He says, "If I can, all things are possible to him who believes." And the Father immediately got the point and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Always remember that God puts the important or the onus on us because he wants us to act by faith in him. So you put faith, F there, and or O-F, rather, F-O. Notice how many times now faith is necessary in order for the healing power to come forth or the miracle to come forth. Okay, let's do the man born blind. It's in one story, in one text, John 9, 1 to 7. Then as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now all kinds of things are happening here. Faith seen in action because he went and washed it off. He could have said, well, what's the point of washing it off? I'll just wipe it off right here. No, go and do it there. So that there was all kinds of faith going on here that produced, that gave a release to the power or the gifts of the Spirit. So I'd say that faith seen in action. Now I want you to notice something here, because if you don't read it correctly, you're thinking, okay, now this is the reason the man was born blind. He was born blind so that God could, at this moment in time, use Jesus to heal him. So God caused the man to be born blind so he could live all his life blind, and then at a certain time, important time, Jesus come along and heal him and demonstrate his power. Now that's so far from the truth, it's unbelievable. Because God is not causing any of that kind of stuff to happen. Are you listening to this man of God here? Think. God is a good God. He doesn't do those kind of things. Now, those kind of things happen. Those kind of things happen because our world does not work right. Women's bodies in bearing children don't always work right. Men's sperm don't always work right. Sin has taken its toll on the human race, and things happen because of that. But God has nothing to do with it. Many times in life, listen to this carefully, and this is hard for some people, but God allows what you allow. God allows what you allow. So when you're reading the Bible, you have to read it with the eyes that God's a good God. So you have to figure this out. Now, when you don't know certain things about grammar, Greek grammar, then it's hindering folks. And some of these translations sometimes are difficult. But remember, people are learning more about the Greek language all the time. But when you're studying the Greek language and you're studying the New Testament, there's no periods or commas or anything. It's just one big letter, one big story. So here's how you have to read this. Starting in verse 3. Is it up there? Okay. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents. Okay, it was not this man sinned. In other words, it didn't happen to him because of the sin, some sin his parents did. Or this man did. Okay, period. Period. But that the works of God might be displayed in him. Keep going, don't stop. Forget that verse 4, because it's not really in the original. But that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. You get the point? He said, neither of them sinned, but the works of God, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, I'm going to work the works right now. So it wasn't as if God caused the man to be blind so he could work the works, but the man was born blind, so God is now, through Jesus, going to work the works. You got it? Everybody get that point? That he wasn't blinded by God so that now Jesus could come and heal him. And that's a very important thing. There's a few other scriptures like that that over a course of the teaching we will share with you. All right, so we have then faith seen in action. All right, let's go now to number 16, which is the woman with the spirit of infirmity. And that's found in one text, Luke chapter 13. Somebody say something? Infirmity. I thought maybe it was spelt wrong or something. Luke 13:10-17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, And there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on these days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Isn't it interesting what religion does? Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said these things, as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. So I see all kinds of things here. In verse 1, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So he was teaching, and people were there, and the Pharisees and the religious people were there to see if he was going to heal. So he must have been saying something about healing. So he saw this woman, and he said, "You're free." So to my way of thinking, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I would say it's the gift of faith, because he was speaking it out of his mouth. And he laid hands on her. That would be then probably the gifts of healings in operation. Laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. And then down in verse 16 it says, "Daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years." We get an idea there of where sickness and disease comes from. It's directly or indirectly comes from the devil. So he said, "Ought not she be a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from his bond on the Sabbath day?" Now something just comes to mind. Get your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. Now, go to chapter 3. Now here's a daughter of Abraham. Now he's talking about that ethnic daughter of Abraham, the Israeli nation, daughter of Abraham. "Ought not she," she has a covenant. The Lord said in Exodus, "I am the Lord who heals you." The compound name, the Hebrew name of God there is Jehovah Yireh, or we say Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Yireh, meaning Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord is healer. Jehovah Yireh is the Lord's provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is healer. So in the old covenant, they had a covenant of healing. She said, "Ought not the daughter of Abraham, who's in this covenant of healing, be loosed?" She should be loosed. She has a right to be free. Now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Now this is written to those of us who are in the new covenant. "And if you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." If you are Christ, then you're Abraham's spiritual seed and heirs according to the promise. You have as much right to be healed as this woman did, who was the daughter of Abraham, because if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs. You're an heir of healing. God wants you healed today. If you have any stuff going on, God is interested in your healing. So that would be gifts of the Spirit on the one hand, but on the other hand, she probably was hearing something, and faith comes by hearing. So I would have to have an asterisk of F there, but nevertheless, mainly I think it's a gift of the Spirit. So number 17, the man with the dropsy. Luke 14, 1 through 6. And this is only found in one spot. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. I think here there's a gift of the Spirit in operation. Took him and healed him. It doesn't say anything about the man having faith or anything. On the one hand, then you look at it and you think, well, if he's in the house there, they're watching him to see if he'd heal. He must be talking about it, but he doesn't say it, so you can't really say it was faith there. So I would say gifts of the Spirit. Number 18, the 10 lepers. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Can I borrow your pen? Something just came up. I want to say it in a minute here. For those of you listening by tape, I'm writing something down. So Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifting up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Notice, "And as they went, they were cleansed." So, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, they would understand what that means. Go yourself to the priest. So, if lepers have a healing, they go to the priest for purification. So, they would understand that healing had taken place. So, when he first said it, all the symptoms hadn't gone, but as they went towards that purification ritual and rite, they were healed. They weren't healed instantly. But if they hadn't have gone, they said, "Well, how can we go to the priest? We still got all these symptoms. We can't go to the priest for purification rites." But they were believing. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So here, the faith of the lepers gave action to the gift. Faith gave action because he spoke it out of his mouth, so that there's a gift of faith. Go show yourself to the priest. A gift of faith is greater than just normal faith. It's something that causes something to happen. So it was Jesus didn't give the credence to his power or the gift. He gave it to the faith. In other words, faith gave action. Without the faith, it wouldn't have happened. My question that I wrote down here, I want you to think about this. If you want healing tonight, do you want to have the responsibility of wellness? Do you want to have the responsibility of being well? See, if you're sick, you can say, well, I mean, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't do this, and don't do that, and I do this. And you know, God understands. You want the responsibility of being well? So that you have to actually get into action in the kingdom? Interesting statement, isn't it? So F beside that one. Okay, the last one is blind Bartimaeus. It's found in Matthew 20, 29 to 34, Luke 18, 35 to 41, and Mark 10, 46 to 52. Just a minute. Esther's whispering. Sweet nothings over there in the corner. Matthew 20, 29 to 34, and Luke 18, 35 to 41. Why don't you use your shorthand? She used to be really fast with shorthand. She could take it down as fast as I could talk. What's happened? Oh, Shirley. Every once in a while I say, take it out, Shirley. She says, I'm not going to do it, Shirley. She says, Shirley, I'll do it. Mark 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Wait a minute. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. Now, here's what I see in my mind. Because in those days, there were all kinds of people lying on the street sick. Jesus is walking. He's walking by them. Walking by all of them. And this guy calls out, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and called them, and they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, the cloak that you wear to show that you're blind, throwing off the cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now, what gave action to the power? Was the faith of the man. He's walking, and all these people around, he's walking. And this guy calls out, have mercy, I want healing. And he received it. He had two things going. He had passive and active in his believing, in his faith. He believed, and then he said it. This is what I want. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. We have to see this. I am so desirous that you see it. Because it makes all the difference in the world in receiving. But many Christians are waiting for a gift of the Spirit, waiting for the immediate, waiting for the miracle, waiting for the instant. And when the instant or the miracle doesn't happen, they quit it till the next time somebody comes through who is used in this area. But he may not be used for you. If you ever go to a church service, for example, where a particular minister is using the gifts of the Spirit and he starts calling out people, maximum there could be 10 in an evening. I've often wondered about that. In other words, the person sitting there a lot of times has no faith, less faith than a gerbil. Sometimes not even saved. They just see it on TV, come and want to see it in action. And they're sitting there, and all of a sudden the word of knowledge comes. Sister, would you mind standing up and come forward? The Lord shows me that you're blind in your right eye and you're deaf in your left ear and you got a bad knee, whatever. Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Well, do you believe that God can do this? Well, I hope so. So it's not her faith, right? And here's some other Pentecostal Christian sitting there, has been saved for 30 years, wondering, what the heck's going on here? I've been believing God for all these years. And she's waiting, or he's waiting, for the minister to call her or him out. But the interesting thing about this is this, that the moment that the minister is used with a word of knowledge, it's God telling the minister, this lady has this wrong with her or that wrong with her. But the same God that knows that lady has that is the God that knows that you have it. And at that moment, God is wanting you probably to exercise your faith and believe you receive the healing power of God, right? Whether the guy calls it or not, he's only calling out what God shows him. But God knows about you. And many people miss the point in some of these meetings. God knows you have it. So you can believe right at that moment. Say, Lord, I just receive your healing power right now in Jesus' name. I don't care if the manifestation comes or the instant comes. And you just keep it on. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on saying it. Keep on believing. Keep on saying it. On and on and on and on. And your faith in the Word of God, because you're going to speak that word. You're going to say, thank you, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. Or thank you, you bore my infirmities and my sicknesses so I don't have to bear them. Thank you, Lord, in Galatians 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, so I believe I no longer have this problem. I believe I receive healing. The manifestation may not be there yet. You keep on saying it and keep on saying it until that word of God. See, there's a difference between reading the Bible and having it real on the inside of you. Is the scripture, somebody says, well, what scripture you're standing on? I don't want to say that anymore. What scripture is real to you? See, if you're not excited about the Word of God in a certain area, it's not real. You have to get excited. How are you going to get excited? We get it from here down here. You sow it. The Word of God, the Bible says, is the seed. So you speak it, and it comes in here and comes down there, and all of a sudden it becomes exciting. It becomes real. So now no longer are you just believing. You're saying it. And that saying it sows that seed down in your spirit, and you get excited about it. And you just know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're healed. And that word, I'm going to call it the law of displacement. That word big on the inside of you, as you fill up with the word, drive, there's no place anymore for the sickness and disease. It dries it out. And you say it, and you rejoice, and you start praising God because it's exciting that you have it. I have it now. It's mine. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. I'm healed. And God, on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, God wants to use you in just laying hands on the sick. Now, if he wants to use you in the gifts of the Spirit, that's up to him. I'm not worried about it at all. I always say, Lord, I'm available. But I rarely use that way. I can sort of think of 5 times maybe out of 50 years. But I'm available. But I can lay hands on anybody. So can you. Stop sweating it about the gifts of the Spirit. He says he gives them severally as he wills, not as you will. So just be available. He wants to use you. But be very wise in your dealings. Don't lay hands on nobody suddenly. See if they're interested. If they're not, say, okay, fine, I'll just pray for you, whatever. Some people don't want you to lay hands on nothing. Don't bother me with this stuff, right? So you just pray, just tell them, I'm going to pray for you. I told a guy in our condo area the other day, found out that he was dying of cancer, and he was walking down. I said, how you doing? How you feeling? Blah, blah, blah. I just want you to know, I said, because I don't know him, just in passing. I said, I just want you to know that Esther and I are praying for your healing. He sort of looked at me strangely, but didn't refuse it. So I thought, that's the first shot, you know. And I'll get another opportunity, probably, to sow that seed that we're praying. He may say, well, you know, why would you say such a thing? Then I can say that, well, whatever, you know. But you would want to do wisdom. Some people, when they would find out if somebody was dying of cancer, they would say, I just wanted you to tell that I am a born-again believer. I've laid hands on the sick, they recover. Would you like me to lay hands on you right now? Kol salah makata. You know, I start speaking in tongues or some stupid thing. I just want you to be used out of the spontaneousness of your living. Just be available. So here's what I come up with. 16 out of the 19 experiences was faith present. Faith specifically mentioned was 10 times. Faith seen in action was twice. Faith for another person who needed healing was 4 times. And the gifts of the Spirit operated out of the 19 individual cases in Jesus' ministry was 3 times. Does that tell you anything? Brother Hagin told me personally before he died, personally, he said, I'm very fortunate if 25% of the people that I pray for get healed. 25%. And he prayed for thousands of people. This is why he changed his ministry during the healing revival. The healing revival from 1947 to 56 went right across North America with ministers used in the gifts of the Spirit. He told some of those ministers, when you're finished, I'll still be going. And near the end of his days, there was only 2 or 3 of them left. Brother Hagin, Brother Osborne, Brother Hagin, Brother Osborne, Oral Roberts, that's about it, on the healing revival guys. Because why? because they all built their ministries on the gifts of the Spirit. He built his ministry on the Word of God. He said, what you have to do, he says, you have to teach and teach and teach until people get a hold of it. And when they get a hold of it, you don't even have to pray for them. They can get healed on their own. That's the best way to get healed. But God has many ways. Laying out of hands, anointing with oil, gifts of the Spirit, believing God. He's got all kinds of ways. But the best way is to get it on your own, because then you're going to keep it. It's your faith that's doing it. It's exciting. So, and the Word of God, and I'll spend more time on this next week, the Word of God is medicine. The Word of God is medicine. So you don't even have to use a healing scripture. In moments when I've got symptoms, I just sometimes just go to the Psalms and say, Lord, I'm just going to take this right now on purpose, intentionally. I'm going to take, we've all got favorites, right? So I just take Psalm, whatever it is. Here's one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. And many will see it, and reverence, and will put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. I just want to praise you, Lord, that word right there is medicine to my flesh today. I receive your healing power. Crown my head, the soles of my feet. Give you thanks. Amen. Just three little scriptures. And then praise him and rejoice him, because it becomes real. It becomes exciting. That the Word of God is health and medicine to your flesh. We'll deal with that more next week. Jesus wants you healed. We're going to spend some time in the next few weeks on showing you that when you start thinking about a subject like healing, you can find it everywhere in the Bible. And it's God's will that you be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. So I want to lift your hands. Lift your hands tonight. We're just going to pray for anybody who needs healing. I'm going to pray a general prayer. When I pray that general prayer...
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to send in your prayer requests or stories about what God is doing in your life to info@harvestfamilychurch.ca.